Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures this morning to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. My text will be the first verse of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My text is the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23 is the shepherd psalm. It is a psalm like no other psalm. It is a psalm that proclaims the truth that God is our shepherd, the truth that God loves us, cares for us, promises to preserve us. The psalm has been called the pearl of the psalms. It is a psalm well known to most everyone. Even the young children in the congregation this morning know this psalm, many of them from memory. It is the first psalm that we are able to recite from memory, already as small children. And it is the last psalm on the lips of the aged saint, whispered as he or she departs this life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Although many know this psalm, know it even from memory, it is to be feared that not so many know Jehovah God as their shepherd. And not so very many this morning, at the beginning of a new year, have the assurance that by God's grace we enjoy, that we will not want. The psalm is a confession, a personal confession of faith. That's the form that the text takes. David confesses that Jehovah God is his shepherd. And on the basis of that heartfelt confession, he expresses the confidence, I shall not want. It's a confession of Jehovah God's care in the present. The Lord is my shepherd. And it is a confession that expresses the psalmist's hope for the future. I shall not want. He is in the present and in the future, in the hands and under the care of his loving and gracious shepherd. It is a personal confession, as confessions always are. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is not only the shepherd of his people generally, the shepherd of his church, but he is my shepherd. My shepherd personally, so that I shall not want. This is our confession this morning, standing as we do at the beginning of a new year. This is the confidence that we have with regard to all of the uncertainties with which we are confronted this morning. None of us knowing what the new year holds for us. Our confidence is not that everything is going to go our way. Our confidence is not that everything is going to turn out this year just exactly as we have planned it. Our confidence is not that our experience in this coming year is going always to be pleasant as far as our flesh is concerned. Our confidence is not necessarily personal prosperity, growth for our business, the enjoyment of every good gift that this life has to offer. That is not our confidence. For many of us, the year will hold suffering. Suffering in the body. Suffering of soul, loss, disappointment, heartache, burdens. But amidst all of that, this is our assurance that Jehovah God is and will remain our shepherd. And because he is our shepherd, we will not want. I call your attention to the text this morning under the theme, Jehovah, my shepherd. Let's ask and answer three questions that develop the thought of the text. First of all, the shepherd of whom? Secondly, the shepherd who? Who is our shepherd? And finally, our shepherd with what result? And that's especially the last part of the text. I shall not want. That Jehovah God is our shepherd implies that we our sheep. Very plainly, the text makes use of a figure. In fact, the whole psalm is a development of this figure, the figure of a shepherd and his sheep. This was a very common figure in the days in which David wrote this psalm. The land was filled with shepherds. Everyone who read this psalm could immediately identify with the psalm and knew from experience something about shepherds and something about sheep. David himself writes out of his own experience, for David was a shepherd. David kept his father Jesse's sheep. In fact, at the time that God sent Samuel to anoint David to be the next king in Israel, to replace unbelieving and wicked King Saul, David was keeping his father's sheep and had to be fetched from the fields so that Samuel could anoint him. David speaks of that in another psalm, in Psalm 78. The last three verses of that psalm, verses 70 through 72, he chose David also, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Undoubtedly, David's experience keeping his father's sheep was God's preparation of David to be the great king in Israel. That's what's indicated in those verses from Psalm 78. God called David from keeping his father's sheep to keep his sheep, to be the under-shepherd of the great good shepherd, Jehovah God. His keeping his father's sheep trained him in the care of the spiritual sheep of God, God's own people. In Psalm 23 now, David compares the Lord God to an earthly shepherd, and he compares the people of God to sheep. That's the teaching of the psalm. That belongs to the teaching of the psalm. Not only that Jehovah God is our shepherd, but that we are his sheep. Sheep, like no other animals, were created by God to be a picture of his elect people. Sheep are helpless. Sheep are foolish. And sheep are utterly defenseless creatures. Sheep are completely helpless, first of all. They can do hardly anything on their own. They can't take care of themselves. They can't find their own pasture. They can't find their own water. They can't even give birth to their young without the care of the shepherd. They are dependent, altogether dependent on the care of the shepherd. And sheep are foolish, altogether foolish animals. They don't know often what's good for them or what's good for their young. They're not alert to danger as they ought to be alert to danger. They don't often see the enemies that are lurking, ready to pounce on them and destroy them. And they're always inclined to wander from the care of the shepherd and the safety of the flock. And they're defenseless, altogether defenseless creatures. They don't have sharp fangs. They don't have claws with which to defend themselves against their enemies. They can't even run away swiftly in order to escape their enemies. All that they can do when their enemies come upon them is bleat for the shepherd. Bah, bah, bah. That's what we are. That's you. That's me by nature. We are sheep. We're helpless, altogether helpless creatures. We can't care for ourselves. We can't even care for ourselves physically. The air that we breathe comes to us from the hand of God. The health and strength that we enjoy are given to us by God. The food on our tables, the clothes on our back are the provision of Jehovah God. And especially is that true spiritually. Spiritually. We don't often know what's good for us. We're so foolish, so utterly foolish. We're not alert to the dangers that surround us as we ought to be. Not alert to the enemies that are intent on our spiritual destruction and death. Not alert to the temptations on every hand to sin. And we're always inclined to wander. So foolish are we to wander from God's word, from God's good commandments, to wander from the care of our shepherd, his word, and the truth of his word. And we're defenseless, utterly defenseless. These many enemies, intent on our destruction, and against them, we're helpless, utterly helpless. We're vulnerable to the attack of those enemies and unable to defend ourselves, as our catechism says, against those enemies. We can't stand even a moment. We are in need, constant need of the care and of the protection of the shepherd. That shepherd is Jehovah God. The Lord is my shepherd, says the psalmist. Lord, you will notice, is in all capitals. That indicates that the word Lord there is Jehovah, the covenant name of God. That's what David says. Jehovah is my shepherd. As our shepherd, Jehovah God carries out all of the duties of a faithful shepherd. Those duties are described in the passage that we read out of Psalm 78. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Those are the duties of the shepherd. First of all, it is the duty of the shepherd to lead the sheep. That's especially verses 2 and 3 of the psalm. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sovereignly, with his shepherd's rod and staff, he directs our way. That Jehovah God leads us doesn't mean that's not his promise to us this morning, that everything is going to go our way, that our path is going to be a smooth and an even path. That's not his promise. Psalm 23 itself indicates that that's not the case. For the psalm speaks of it, that our shepherd sometimes prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. The psalm speaks of the fact that Jehovah God's leading of us is sometimes his leading of us through the deep dark valley of the shadow of death. Know that Jehovah God is our shepherd does not mean that our way is always going to be an easy and smooth way. For you see, His leading of us is always governed by this, what we read at the end of verse 3, for His name's sake. All His shepherd's work on our behalf, all His leading of us, all His provision for us and protection of us is governed by that, for His name's sake. His glory, the honor of His name by us and in us. It belongs to Jehovah God's leading of us that when we wander, He brings us back. We will wander. When we look back at this past year, we see that that was a reality in all of our lives. How many times didn't it happen that through our own foolishness, we went in ways of our own choosing? How often didn't it happen that we went contrary to what we knew very well to be God's good commandments? But always He brought us back again. Always He worked repentance in us, restoring us again to the right way. That's His promise. That's the fruit of His leading of us as our shepherd. As our shepherd, Jehovah God provides for us. He finds pasture for us, and He feeds us. That's verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And that's verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now this is true. Physically, Jehovah God cares for us and for our families. He did that this past year in a wonderful way. We lacked nothing that was needful. He put the food on our tables. He gave us work for our hands and the ability to earn a living, to support our family and the cause of His kingdom in our midst. And He will in this coming year. That doesn't mean that from our point of view, there may not come a day when we experience lack and want. Many of God's people in other parts of the world at this very moment experience hunger and starvation, don't have even the essentials of earthly life. But this is His promise, that He will provide us with what we need, what we really and truly need as far as our earthly life is concerned. What we need for our own good and what we need in order to glorify Him. But what is on the foreground is not so much God's care of us physically as His care of us spiritually. His leading of us into the green pastures of His Word and truth and gospel. His leading of us beside the still waters of His Word, truth, and gospel, so that we may drink to the satisfying of our souls. That was His care. His shepherd's care of our flock in this past year, we take that for granted. We take it for granted that we are able to come together in public assembly in order to worship God. We take it for granted that we are able to do this twice every Lord's Day. We take it for granted often that when we assemble, we will hear the Word of God in truth and in power. We must never take that for granted. What a care of us and of our children. What a care of our congregation, our denomination. What a care of His church in the world that Jehovah God provides His Word for the nourishment of the souls of His sheep, for their growth in grace, for the assurance of their salvation, for the equipping of them to live godly and holy lives in the midst of this world. This way we may expect will be His care of us and of our children in the year that is to come. And as our shepherd, Jehovah God defends us. That comes out especially in verses 4 and 5. In verse 5, He prepares that table before us in the presence of our enemies. That indicates Jehovah God's sovereign control of our enemies. That indicates that those enemies can do nothing against us. Not really, not effectively. For in their very presence, He prepares for us an abundant table. But that comes out as well in what we read in verse 4. In verse 4 at the end, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We mustn't suppose, as often we do, that rod and staff are really one and the same. In reality, they are two distinct implements. Two things that the shepherd has that he uses in the care and protection of the sheep. First of all, that rod. That rod is really a club that often hung from the belt or the girdle of the shepherd. The club that he used to drive away the enemies of the sheep, the wolves and lions and bears who were intent on devouring the sheep and destroying the sheep. The shepherd used his rod or club against those enemies, not on the sheep, but on the enemies of the sheep. And that staff, that was the shepherd's staff in his hand. with its crook at the top that was used for guiding the sheep in the right way, and that was used to draw them back when they wandered from that right way. That's Jehovah God's promise to us this morning. He will defend us from our enemies. He will use His rod and club so that those enemies are not able to have their way with us and with His staff. He will keep us on the right way. That's the assurance that we need in the face of the many enemies that confront us in this new year. Sickness, trouble, affliction, financial difficulties, ultimately death. We need the assurance. None of these enemies is able to destroy us. None of these enemies is able to separate us from the shepherd, from the love and care of the shepherd. None of these enemies will be able to scatter the sheep and destroy the flock. But Jehovah God, as our sovereign shepherd, will defend us, will preserve us, will defeat the enemies, will even use those enemies themselves to accomplish His will, to do His bidding for the good of the sheep in this new year. That this is our assurance. That Jehovah God is our shepherd and we are His sheep is due alone to His sovereign grace. That stands behind everything in Psalm 23. The psalm extols the sovereign, saving grace of God with respect to His people. The truth of God's sovereign election is implied in the psalm, that you are one of His sheep, that I count myself to be one of His sheep is due alone to His sovereign election of you and of me. That's what He says in the psalm, and that's implied in the figure of the psalm. He says, Jehovah is my shepherd. He does not say, Jehovah has become my shepherd, has become my shepherd because of something in me or something that I have done. No, Jehovah is my shepherd, and He is my shepherd, and I am His sheep because of His sovereign choice of me. That's the figure. Even the children here this morning understand that about the figure. You understand that no sheep chooses its shepherd, that a sheep belongs to a certain shepherd is not because of something that that sheep has done to make it one of the sheep of that shepherd. That's ridiculous. That's not true. But that a sheep belongs to a certain shepherd is due to the will and to the activity of the shepherd. He chooses that sheep to be one of his own sheep. He purchases that sheep so that it will be one of his own sheep. The sheep are utterly dependent upon the will, the choice, and the working of the shepherd. Jehovah is our shepherd in Jesus Christ. The Psalm 23, is a psalm about Christ. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. He himself said it. I am the good shepherd. And that's the psalm. For the psalm, as we pointed out, is this. Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's Jesus. Jesus is Jehovah Savior. The psalm extols the work and the person of Jesus Christ. He is our shepherd, and we are his sheep because of what he has done to make us his sheep. That's the cross. That's Calvary. That's where we must look to see Jesus Christ doing the work of a shepherd on behalf of us who are his sheep. We must look at the cross. There he does his shepherd's work. There he defeats all of the enemies of the sheep. There he does everything that's necessary to be done so that the sheep will be safe from their enemies. There he leads the sheep into green pastures, the green pastures of righteousness before God. There he anoints them with oil, the oil of gladness, the oil of all the blessings of salvation. There on the cross, he restores our foolish, wandering souls to God and to the fellowship of God. And there he opens up the way through the deep, dark valley of the shadow of death. A way through that deep, dark valley to the everlasting life and glory that are on the other side of that valley. Because Jehovah God is our shepherd, we shall not want. That's the result. The good result of the truth that Jehovah is our shepherd. That's how you must understand the second part of the text in relationship to the first part of the text. Read it that way and you do justice to the thought of the text. Jehovah is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. The versification of Psalm 23 that we're going to sing in a few moments puts it exactly that way. Psalter number 52. Thou, Jehovah, art my shepherd. Therefore, I no want. Shall know. That's the thought. This is the comforting conclusion to the truth with which the psalm begins. Jehovah is my shepherd. And really, the whole rest of the psalm is really just an explanation and an application of that last part of verse 1. I shall not want. The whole rest of the psalm explains just exactly what that means. I shall not want provision, for he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want refreshment, for he leadeth me beside the still waters. I shall not want preservation, for he restoreth my soul. I shall not want guidance, for he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I shall not want peace, for he maketh me to fear no evil. I shall not want companionship, for he will be with me, even in the valley. I shall not want comfort, for his rod and his staff, they comfort me. I shall not want protection, for he will prepare a table before me, even in the presence of mine enemies. I shall not want joy, for he will anoint my head with oil, the oil of gladness, and he will cause my cup to overflow. I shall not want blessing now, for his goodness and his mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall not want glory hereafter, for he will cause me to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it's all because Jehovah is my shepherd. This is the assurance of those who are Jesus' sheep. This is the assurance of those who know Jehovah God to be their shepherd, who put their trust in him as their shepherd. Only for them is this true. Not all men have Jehovah God as their shepherd, and not all men therefore enjoy the benefits of his being their shepherd. And that means that they lack. They want. They lack now, and they will lack eternally. They lack the blessing and favor of God. They lack the good gifts of God in salvation and everlasting life. They lack peace and joy. And especially do they lack when they walk through the valley of the shadow of death. For they must walk through that valley alone. All alone. And they shall want eternally in the misery of soul and body that will be their experience in hell, separated there from the favor and love of God. No, only to those whose trust is in Jehovah God as their shepherd. Only they who are Jehovah God's sheep. Only they have the assurance now and forever that they shall not want. The text is personal. We said that at the outset, and we must say it again. It's personal. The text presupposes the necessity and the importance of personal confession. It's not enough that David could make this confession. It's not enough that in a general sort of way you are able to say, Jehovah God is a shepherd and he has certain sheep. But we must be able to say, by God's grace, we do say this morning, Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then, of course, it's one thing to say those words. It's another thing to live that way. The man, the woman, the young person, the child who makes this confession from the heart is a person unshaken in all of their life. Yes, there are troubles and sorrows and disappointments and heartaches and troubles and trials and burdens. Yes, there is death, our own death, the death of our loved ones. This past year, we stood at their graves. Yes, but the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me for his name's sake. Whatever befalls me in this life is for my good, comes from his hand, his fatherly hand, the hand of the great good shepherd. Even in my sorrows and afflictions, I have the assurance that he is working everything for my good. The one who makes this confession, who lives out of this confession, is finally one who looks forward to the day when perfectly and everlastingly he will not want. The day when the shepherd will come for him. The day when the shepherd will guide him into the green pastures and beside the still waters of everlasting life. The day when the shepherd will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death to the other side of that valley. Then, and into all eternity, we shall not want. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, bless thy word and the preaching and teaching of thy word in the congregation this morning. Apply the word to our hearts. Apply it in such a way that we enjoy the comfort of that word, the peace and joy of that word, the confidence of that word with respect to our uncertain future. We thank thee that we may know that thou art our shepherd, and that we may live in the assurance that therefore we shall not want. Amen. Let's sing together Psalter number 52. Psalter number 52. Thou, Jehovah, art my shepherd, therefore I no want shall know. The four stanzas, 52.
Thank you.
grace, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you forever. Amen.